Here's something from the book of Revelation, and this is Revelation chapter 3. And the Apostle John, Chief Elder John there, by the anointing, was bringing direction for the structure of the church and the direction of the church there in Asia, the seven churches of Asia. And this one here, Sardis. And this is what he says unto the angel of the church of Sardis. He says, write these things. Thus saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Hey, those are the seven stars which was in Jesus' hand when he touched the head of John in order to address the conditions of the church. The anointing was giving him the insight. Hey, as the Spirit again was giving him the direction of addressing these particular discrepancies and also giving wisdom. He says, I know your works. Hey, understanding the work of the priesthood, that you have a name, which I'd also identify, of course, the gifts. Okay, which he's provided for us, that you live and are dead. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, your expression of charity has grown, say, saltless. Yeah, the expression of charity has gone saltless here. And this is what he says unto the angel of the church of Sardis, chapter 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things that are which remain, the things which are good. And regarding government, truth and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and the graces of God, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Okay, and he says that are ready to die. And we can see that without this particular instruction, during the sixth Enochian week, how the knowledge of God faded after the first eighth week, as it was revealed to Hermas, the Apostle Hermas. When the angel was instructing the Apostle Hermas, he revealed to him in regarding the diminishing of this knowledge, the truth of God would be turned into a lie through the sixth week, the sixth Enochian week, the time of darkness, until the dawning of the second eighth week. Then he goes on here, remember therefore how you have received. It goes right back to the source concerning the apostles. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. In fact, we'll talk more about that when we get to 1 John chapter 5. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Okay, repenting again has to do with your abandoning one thing to embrace another. But you have to know what to embrace. You're abandoning the philosophies, traditions of the previous religious system, that previous covenant, in order to embrace that which is the mind of Christ of the second covenant. And that's what he says, therefore, if you shall not watch, I will come unto you as a thief. Yeah, I will come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. That's kind of interesting. You have a few names. Yeah, we can see also the Apostle Paul mentioned particular names there. Okay, those which were consistent, like Epaphroditus or Epaphras, Timotheus, Silvanus, Sothenes, just to name a few. They're and Titus. You can see that they were, their consistency, even that which is a Philemon, Andronicus, okay, and that those of the house of Philemon. Okay, you have a few names, even as Sardis, which have defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The worthiness has to do with that which is a garment without spot and blemish. Okay, clean and white, okay, is pure white linen, for they are worthy. Now, he that overcomes, this has to do with the present challenges. We have present challenges today. The present challenges facing those of the second eighth week. So he that overcomes, the same should be clothed in white raiment. And we can see also in the book of Revelation, those which were raptured, they were clothed in white raiment. They also had palms in their hands, which was in recognition of stewardship. He that overcomes, the same should be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out their name out of the book of life. That's a pretty serious statement to make, where the Lord says, blotting out his name from the book of life. We can see in Revelation, in chapter 20, and the books were opened, okay, and the dead were judged out of those things, okay, which were written in the books. And the other book was the book of life, okay, which was identifying the consenters. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Now we know that Moses understood that because he mentioned that in that same manner. Blot my name out of your book. And that had to do with concerning the challenges which Moses was facing. It was very oppressive to his mind. What was revealed to him and what he was observing was very challenging. It was very challenging of how he felt the outcome should come and how things should come to its conclusion. And he says right here, he says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, Jesus did that in his earthly ministry. When he prayed, he brought their names before the throne of his Father, which was a connection. It was showing a connection of thought, connection of faith. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And we're going to start in today's lesson. Okay, so here he says, finally, brethren, now we're in chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. So make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. You highlight the word pray there. Of course, these were some of the things which we mentioned Saturday, which I posted there concerning prayer. Finally, my brethren, which is concerning the your circumcision is completed by in the cycle of his operation. Okay, your circumcision is completed in a cycle of his operation. We can see the same thing in the illustration there regarding Abraham. The revelation which he received had a process for its completion. Okay, and that process of completion, that which the Lord revealed to him, required faith and patience. As the scriptures say, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And also in Hebrews chapter 11, we can see the same challenges are brought forth. Okay, that which is revealed, okay, which through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past stage because she judged him faithful that had promised. She judged him faithful, which means the things which revealed God is able to perform. Okay, that which God reveals is able to complete and perform it. But it takes the patience on the part of the righteous to await to that time of completion, as we are today. The door opening of this the end of completion of the second eighth week to the rapture of the church. Finally, brethren, pray for us. He says here, and this is regarding the completion. So he says, take serious focus here regarding this refuge, that you come full cycle. See, so finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. I like the word free course there. Free course, which means to increase without restriction. And through your prayer life, as you continue to pray in the Spirit, as you continue to function within your priesthood, attending the altar of Christ, that this is attainable. It says, have free course, increase without restriction, as you continue to pray in the Spirit. Okay, and be glorified even as it is with you. See the word glorified there, which has to do with it goes from one point of completion to its fruition. Okay, from a bud or from bud to a berry to the completion, the apple. Okay, everything goes through a process completion as much as a caterpillar or a tadpole. Okay, a tadpole to a frog, a caterpillar to a butterfly. It has a due process for its completion. So he said, finally, brethren, pray for us. I like the word us there because he's talking about concerning this government. So the Apostle Paul was saying, as you intercede on our behalf, we also intercede on your behalf, which shows a unity, a consistency. We were talking about the word congruence. Through this consistency, there's a point of agreement in which we're all partaking that same bread and all drinking that same wine. There's a point of agreement there and harmony that all of us are in step with the Spirit, that anointing. And through these things, there's compatibility. It removes the friction of any kind of strife, malice, and envy, which is in a false religious system. Okay, the things that are born of iniquity are circumcised out of the heart of the righteous because we are complying to these things. Okay, the conformity. Conformity, consistency, the compliance. And we talked about those things. Congruence. Finally, brethren, pray for us. So I like the word pray for us there. That the word of the Lord may have free course, which means the revelation of this knowledge now be completed within you without any kind of restriction. Okay, not restrictions of the law, nor of malice, nor envy, nor strife. Okay, but rather he says here, into the fullness of the stature of Christ, which you read about also in Ephesians. The fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. That's the goal of the Spirit. Okay, the goal of the Spirit is for the saints to increase and to abound in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, spiritual understanding. That by this direction, okay, you're increasing with the increase of God. Now, when we talk about the increase of God, we're talking about those things which our Father issues. Okay, the more you sow, the more you grow. And the Father is issuing more grace upon grace, the increase, grace upon grace. Chief Elder and Apostle John brings that out in his letter there, the Gospel of John, in the testimony of John the Baptist, as concerning that he didn't come for the purpose of the law of Moses, but rather to give us a new law, okay, a new law, a new priesthood, a different priesthood. Okay, it didn't require those substances of the soil or corruption of time, okay, but those things which are spiritual after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, we can see Melchizedek was introduced in the book of Genesis to Abraham to show a connection of stewardship and priesthood, okay, after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. The word glorified there, which has to do with bringing it from one point to another point. Of course, I brought that out. From a cocoon of a caterpillar into that of the fullness of the butterfly. Glorified. Okay, and when it's in that point of glorification, it begins to function according to the capacity of that power. And we also function according to the capacity of the power of Jesus Christ. Okay, that which he's issued to us at this present time, okay, for the purpose of this fruit bearing through the work of regeneration and renewing of the mind, to that which is also the eternal reward, the baptism of light. Okay, so our hope and expectation is within those things. So we work with patience of hope. We're working towards that goal, patience of hope. Be glorified in you, even as it is with you, and as he brings out here in verse 1. It comes to the full stature. At this point, we behold him in his throne. So you can see the divine process. So the things which we see and the things which we perceive and the things also which we're embracing. And this is brought on again in Hebrews 11. Okay, having seen them afar off and embraced them and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, that we're not embracing the goals of the aspiration, but embracing those things which are of the revelation. Not of the aspiration, but of the revelation. Even as it is with you. Okay, that we behold him, little children, young men, and fathers. Little children, young men, and fathers. Of course, Chief Elder and Apostle John brings it out. In chapter 2, that is in 1 John chapter 2, whereas he's instructing the saints there in regarding his stewardship. It begins with the first verse there, that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The things which we touched was the eternal one, Jesus Christ. We touched him, okay, not Moses. Okay, the things which were restricted by the law, okay, with an impure conscience, but Jesus Christ, which has to do with the eternal things, okay, which has to do with the hope of glory, the eternal things, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the substance which will be born in you upon your profession of faith, which we do every day. Okay, you're professing him every day. You're continually affirming that kingdom. So that the Lord is etching within the caverns of your soul the image of his glory and may be glorified even as it is with you. So its process, the divine process, continues on without restriction. Okay, it continues on without restriction. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Okay, and let's look at a few other verses there. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start here around verse 12. Okay. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You see the understanding the Apostle Paul was conveying to those at Ephesus. Now, we can see that Ephesus had a big turnaround, and the writings of the Apostle Paul were affirming these things. Because at Ephesus, at the time that the Chief Elder Apostle John was writing to them, they also had the doctrines of the Nicolaitans present. Okay, we see that in Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, okay, that was in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. But allow us to see what the Apostle Paul is saying. We know that those which are at Ephesus embrace these things. because they had right to the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruit. Each fruit also is addressing that which is the signature of Adam. Okay, the signature of Adam also gives witness to that through the work of regeneration, because the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations, the people. That's us. The leaves of the tree never fade. The leaves of the tree never fall. But the budding and the fruit bearing is ongoing. There's no changing of season in this holy city, New Jerusalem. We live in an environment of the changing of the seasons. Okay, whereas the leaves have a point of beginning of budding, okay, they mature, okay, and then when they're about 5 months, they begin to dry up and fall. And we call it fall, autumn. Okay, but that is not so in the kingdom of God, not in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Because in the holy city, Jerusalem, there is no marking of time. In other words, we're inside the eternal one. They see the glory of his light, the pure conscience of our Father. Then here he goes on for the perfecting of the saints, to remain sealed for increase. To remain sealed for increase. We see completion and perfection, okay, through the stewardship, or for the priesthood and through the stewardship, completion and perfection. The number 10 and number 7. Okay, 10 and 7 is 17, which is an open door for new beginning. For the perfection of the saints. For the work of the ministry, whereas the gifts, the callings, and the grace of God, which are also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, okay, point out, and where the Apostle Paul teaches concerning that work of charity. Charity, which is expressed through your prophecy, as you're prophesying and testifying, your prophecy testifies of Jesus Christ, for the Spirit of Christ is that which is prophecy. Okay, and Revelation, that brings that out. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, these things which we labor for, the work of the ministry, we're laboring in this form of service. What are we laboring in this form of service? For the edifying of the body of Christ, enlarging the soul by fruit. For the edifying of the body of Christ, enlarging the soul with fruit. We increase with his increase. The more that the Father sows his gifts within the church, the more the fruit-bearing it is on our part and our reciprocation. And so, therefore, our Father's joy is full. Our Father's joy is full. He's looking at the daily harvest, okay, of the righteous, the daily harvest of the righteous through your prayer, okay, and your prophecy. Say, through all the tokens which he provided for us richly, these things he provided richly for us to enjoy. It is for this goal intended. Okay, he's not talking about a time frame, but a goal till we all come in the unity of the faith. Okay, that we all attend to this one house. All of us are attending the altar in this one house. Okay, we can see the illustration of this, okay, or we can see the example of that, even way back in the book of Genesis, where the Lord used that word house to identify, okay, a particular people. Or a peculiar people, okay, that had a different perspective of life, okay, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, okay, as Chief Elder and Apostle Peter brings out. He brings these things to the attention of the saints, a royal priesthood, okay, and this is what the unity of the faith is, this knowledge, the bonding of this one knowledge in this one house. Okay, with one priesthood, that is Jesus' priesthood. Okay, not mingling with the things of Moses, but remaining pure, without spot, pure. Our garments are spotless because they don't have the residue of the altar of Moses on it. Okay, we don't have the smell of smoke on our garments. Okay, any kind of burning on it. It's like attending a barbecue. A spark flies out of the barbecue there and lands on your clothes, and it gives a little burn mark there on your clothes. That's not on the righteous. It was on those of that first covenant. The staining of blood, the burn marks of the altar and the smoke of the altar, even the smell of the incense. All these things were on that, were the wrinkling. Okay, of that garment. That's why they had to change them continually. Okay, they had a large changing room. Okay, every time they went into the locker room, they removed that which was just soiled, Okay, they had to wash themselves, and they put on new garments and go back to tend the same thing again and again and again and again. Okay, so we can see that the washing machines were continually going. Hey, who was washing all these things? Somebody had to wash them. The soiled garments had to continually be washed. They had to continually be hung. They had to continually be pressed and put back into the locker room there for the next, shift to come in. Day and night. Okay, they had the sacrifices going. They had the morning sacrifice and they had the evening sacrifice. Okay, so this was a process that continued, but never could increase the people. It never increased. Okay, because it was continually being consumed. Okay, the consumption of the altar, which represents the state of the conscience. The state of the conscience cannot progress beyond its present point until Jesus Christ came to remove the barrier of the defiled conscience. When that barrier of the defiled conscience was removed, the power of Satan also was removed. And this is what Jesus brings out. The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. That's what Jesus said there, in the Gospel of John. The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. And we can see the evidence of that in the epistles. The epistles were written in a different level of understanding and experience than that of the Gospels. Okay, the epistles were written at a different level of experience than the four Gospels were, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were identifying the seed. Okay, the seed which was going to produce the fruit, but the fruit wasn't there yet. Okay, this was a mystery, and this is what Jesus said to his apostles. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand it now. Okay, why can't you understand it now? Because the state of your conscience hasn't been purified. I haven't yet gone to the cross yet. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. You have not yet received the engrafting of my Spirit. Called the Comforter, in order to bring you through this divine process, which will require new knowledge, a knowledge and a new language, which is different than the language of the law. The language of the law was restricted to the law, and the language of the law restricted to the law was only identifying the defiled conscience, the struggle of the conscience. But that which is the new language of this covenant, a language which we agree to, the language we speak in a covenant of faith. Okay, the language which we speak is that which is the covenant of faith, which is different than a false religious system. The language of the false religious system is exploratory language. They're delving in things which they don't understand. Okay, they speak of the law out of one side of their mouth and speak of Jesus on the other side of their mouth. That's called double-minded. Okay, a double-minded soul is also a defiled conscience. So we go on here till we all come to the unity of the faith. Okay, we see that in verse 13. Okay, because we're bonding this one knowledge under this new language that the prophet said, they shall speak a new language. Okay, and a knowledge of the Son of God. These are the facts that acknowledge this record only. Knowledge of the Son of God, the record of Jesus Christ. Knowledge of the Son of God is not that which is of Moses. See, that which is of Moses was written in stone and in parchment. Okay, and taught every Sabbath day, in the tabernacle and in the temple by the Levitical priesthood, those whom God appointed for that season, into the tasking. But it's not so in God's kingdom now. Okay, when Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is with you, and the kingdom of God is among you," speaking of himself, you must be joined to him. Okay, that we are now the house of Jesus Christ, under a new priesthood. Okay, the knowledge of the Son of God, facts that are consistent to his character, purpose, and plan. The record of his throne, a fire charity. And through this fire charity, which is every sacrifice should be salted with salt, every sacrifice should be salted with fire, Jesus speaking of himself. Hey, I'm going to breathe on you a new knowledge that's going to be ignited by the anointing, a new knowledge ignited by the anointing, fire charity. And he's going to govern your destiny through these things. I will govern your destiny through this fire of charity. Okay? My anointing is going to ignite this knowledge within you for fruit bearing. Okay? It's going to therefore keep your lamp full and your light bright, which all those we have whose lamps are full, whose light is bright, enter into the house of the Lord. They heed the voice of the Lord. Okay, that's the perfect man. You highlight the word perfect man there. Pick up your highlighter and highlight perfect man there in verse 13. The Son of God unto a perfect man as we're approaching Christ as our high priest. And through these, we have remission of sin. Those which are joined to the stewardship, their sins are remitted. Those that deny the stewardship, their sins are retained. This is the pattern in which our Lord spoke to chief elder and apostle Peter, which tradition is still carried forth today. That those which deny the stewardship, they also deny their salvation. And we'll be reading more about that momentarily here when we jump over there to the Epistle of John. Okay, so here he says, unto a perfect man whose sins are remitted, which also has to do with the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See the word measure there. Everything of that first covenant was in portions and parts. Okay, a tenth of this and a tenth of that. Okay, a little portion of this and a little portion of that. Whether it be for the altar of incense prepared for the altar, it was a portion of this and a portion of that. Okay, or for the anointing oil, it was another portion of this and a portion of that. But it's not so in the house of the Lord, okay, in the house of Jesus Christ. Okay, when he says here, unto a perfect man, which means all the provision is made available for us in his fullness, all of it. Of his fullness have all received grace for grace, all of it. Everything, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, the government, the truth, the spirit, the prayer, the preaching, and the prophecy. The measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Okay, the word of his fullness, okay, which has to do with that which is of his entity, okay, which means everything. It means everything about him, okay, which makes us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, everything which our Father has predetermined in his bosom will be his joy and fulfillment, okay, for the purpose of this propagation. Okay, increasing of his house, the expansion of every house. Okay, as pillars in his house. Okay, he that overcomes will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out. Because as pillars of fire, we stand within the dimension, okay, as gods, representing our Father. Okay, increasing his house, okay, as a branch and the fruit of the tree increases the value of the tree. Okay, the tree itself is greater than its parent. Well, what's the parent of a tree? The seed that's been planted. Okay, that seed which has been planted now has a testimony within your conscience. Okay, the testimony of your conscience, okay, will be spoken of before the throne of our Father. Okay, when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. Okay, the time of completion is here, as the Lord will say, to enter into your inheritance. Okay, that you will be as gods yourself, okay, expanding and extending my kingdom, as Isaac did with Abraham, and as Jacob did with Isaac's house, okay, and the 12 patriarchs did with the house of the house of Israel, and so would be the increase. Greater shall be thy throne. Greater be your throne than that which is of your father David, and they call Jesus what? The Son of David. He will increase, the Son of David will increase the house of David according to as the prophet spoke. And it was fulfilled and still being fulfilled today. And this is what he brings out here. The measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. The measure. The line of maturity continues to increase. Okay, of that which is of our Father, of one scale. The scale of his holiness. Okay, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect man stands on that scale. Yeah, not the scale of lack, not the scale of loss, not the scale of corruption, not the scale which the thief can break through and steal. Okay, but the scale which exists within the Father's bosom, on the throne, Jesus Christ. He is the authority. He is the scale. Everything is measured to him because everything came into existence because of him. All things are created by him and for him, and without him was not anything made or created. And he is before all things, as the Lord brings out, that we henceforth be no more children. You see that, verse 14? That we henceforth be no children, that is, the impulses to confirm ourselves, okay, which the false religious system does. the false religious system, by the habit of that seducing spirit, steals the knowledge of God for the aspiration. Satan taught that since the Garden of Eden. He taught that when he stole the knowledge of God, repackaged it for the aspiration, which became a stumbling block, okay, and by that stumbling block, darkness fell upon the conscience of Adam. The light of his brightness receded, and God put him into a form of flesh, a new form, okay, which could bear heat and cold. And his receding was then concealed from the carnal eye, which it is today, okay, concealed from the carnal eye, which, of course, that veil will be removed, where the brightness of his work within us will be shown as the in his fullness, even on the day of judgment. Okay, the fullness of his expression within us, which is etched within the caverns of our heart, okay, by the pure conscience, be fully displayed, okay, on that great white throne judgment. For all nations to behold, the angels will admire, and our Lord will clap, okay, in exaltation, okay, at his divine work. Okay, because there's great joy in the presence of the Lord, because of the repentance that this individual turned from the aspiration to faith. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Those things which only confirm ourselves, okay, rather find a refuge in him. That we will keep our conscience purified by faith in Jesus Christ and not weakened by the aspiration. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about how we carried about by every wind of doctrine. The scholastic and apologetic stewards. By the scholastic and apologetic stewards. Okay, the apologetic stewards, they pick and choose what they feel is relevant to their theology and find something that could be agreeable to somebody else, a false unity. And such is the work of the scholars today. They learned it from Satan. The seducing spirit Satan taught his demons, okay, which are seducing spirits. Okay, in order to deceive, you have to have something that has a familiar look or familiar taste or familiar consistency to it, something that looks real, like a counterfeit dollar bill. It looks real, it feels real, it even smells like it. The thing of it is, it is not. Okay, and that's how Satan deceives through similarities. Okay, as his also his stewards, okay, whose works will be burned. Okay, whose works will be burned there, of course, as the Apostle Paul brings out there in Corinthians. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Removed from the refuge, carried about with every wind of doctrine, being led by the idols of religion. We're building only towers of strife, strife of words. Wind of doctrine is strife of words by the sleight of men. Sleight of men has to do with that bending the light, like water bends the light. Okay, and God put the example of the bending of light in that water because water bends light, okay, as water is earthy. Okay, light doesn't bend light, water bends light. Okay, and by the sight of men is that which is of this dimension will bend the light to the aspiration. Okay, Satan did it in the garden. Satan tried to teach Jesus that when he was tempting him. When he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and says, why don't you jump off of here? Because doesn't the Bible say he should give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways lest you dash your foot against a stone? Okay, that's bending the light. The water was bending the light. The seducing spirit was stealing knowledge for the aspiration. Okay, bending the light. That's called cunning craftiness. Cunning craftiness. Because Satan is using his signature as a scale to weigh the effects. Okay, as God also uses the record of Jesus Christ to weigh those effects. Okay, the record of Jesus Christ is used and preached by us. Okay, which scale is true? And which scale is faithful? That's why Jesus called the true and faithful witness. Okay, faithful because he's consistent to what he is, his holiness. Okay, and he's true, being that of the original standard. Jesus Christ is the original standard of our faith. He's the original standard of our confession because God is love. Okay, God is love. He is the standard which we speak. He's the standard which we affirm. He's the standard which we reciprocate. Right, he's a standard, okay, of our life. that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine. Okay, when he uses the word wind there, okay, he's talking about us concerning that which the breath of seducing spirits. The breath of seducing spirits uses this knowledge to build the towers of Jericho, strongholds of deception. Now, when we talk about strongholds of deception, okay, we're talking about denominationalism. Okay, denominationalism is a result, okay, of the wind of doctrine. Okay, the breath of demons. Okay, the breath of demons takes the very verses that we're reading here and makes application for their own theology and aspirations, theological aspiration. What they feel should be the will of God. What they read in the epistles, okay, they're finding it as a challenge to live up to the standard. And they can't figure out, why can't I live up to the standard, okay, of these things which the apostles experience? Well, that's really simple. You're not in the covenant. You're not in the covenant, and the covenant requires, number one, stewardship. Okay, stewardship, government, truth, and spirit. You have to work with the stewardship. If you're not being taught through these things, then the breath of the seducing spirits will begin, okay, to instruct or, you see, master your thinking, religious thinking. And therefore, you have what we have today. You have your Jehovah's Witnesses. As much as they're sincere and serving Jehovah, they're serving a false god. Or the Mormons, as much as they're sincere and their application of their doctrines, they're serving a false god. Okay, whether it be Baptist or Lutheran or Catholic. Okay, these are Jericho's spiritual strongholds by the breath of demons who selected certain verses out of the Bible to give them a form of justification. Our justification doesn't come through selection of a verse. Our justification comes by faith in Jesus Christ, being justified by faith, not by text. What the law cannot do, and that it was weak, it couldn't justify because the conscience was defiled. How can you be justified by the law if the conscience is defiled? The law itself condemns the conscience. If the law condemns the conscience, it definitely can't justify it. Okay, but Jesus came to free us from the condemnation of that law, okay, by becoming a law himself, the law of grace and truth. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Okay, and cunning craftiness, we talked about that. A trick by duplicity, okay, duplicating, role-playing the calling. That's trick by duplicity, whereby they lie in wait. That while they explore religion, they build these concepts, they use strange doctrines, okay, just like a lion would hide in tall grass, which lie in wait to deceive, to conceal the presence, like a troll hiding underneath a bridge. A troll sups on the fear of the ignorant, okay, of the victim, their ignorance, okay, to those that approach the crossing. Satan lies in wait. That's, of course, the Bible talks about that. He's as a roaring lion walking about whom he can devour, deceive. But he says here in verse 15, Paul says, bespeaking the truth in love. See the word truth and love? Highlight that. Truth and charity. This is what we're speaking. We prophesy the pattern of Christ in the covenant by this knowledge which we're receiving. The anointing. The anointing now puts his marks of ownership in you. The anointing puts the marks of ownership in you that we bear within our souls the fragrance of Christ. As your conscience remains purified by faith in Jesus Christ, your soul gives off the fragrance of the altar, the incense altar. Remember, the incense altar was before the curtains of the holiest of all. Okay, but now we have entered into a relationship with God. Okay, no, that veil is no more there. Because the veil is no longer there, we send forth the sweet-smelling savor of this knowledge through our charity. Okay, which things the angels of God look into? They take delight in it. But speaking the truth in love from the foundation, we believe in our heart, we confess with the lips. What? Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. We're confessing him. So we're prophesying the pattern of Christ. Okay, in this covenant. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him into all things which is the head, even Christ, may grow up. Because the anointing, okay, is our nourishment. Okay, the truth is our bread. And we're continually partaking of his altar now. You're partaking of his altar now. to where the soul is being fed. And where a soul is being fed, your faith begins to increase and abound. Where your faith is increasing and abounding, the presence of God is there. Okay, the angel of righteousness is present at your right hand. Okay, the angel of righteousness is present at your right hand, is taking the light within your choices of life and rewarding you accordingly. As he's mastering the understanding within you, as you're even writing at this time, preparing your sacrifice. Okay, so you're growing up in him in all things. Okay, all the virtue which he is, because charity is the distributing power of all other virtue. As Paul brings out in Galatians there. Okay, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, the law cannot do this. So therefore, if the law cannot perform it, the law can't stop it. There's no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, which of course, the law frustrates the process. Okay, but grace allows freedom of choice. Okay, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, the head, this is the goal of the inheritance of his throne and that of the crystal sea. Let's go on to verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, we're expounding here from Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, just a reminder, okay, it says right here, may have free course. This is what we're talking about, free course. Be glorified even as it is with you. This is the free course, see? It's free course because it's without restriction. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in him without restriction. In all things without restriction, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, when he says the head, even Christ, which he's identifying concerning the process which is in you is in him, which is the head, even Christ. The process which is unfolding within you is a result of him, is in him too. Okay, we are mirroring the source. And he says here, from whom, by the drawing of this well, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, but that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There it is again. Its source is your goal, from the bosom to the bosom. The cycle is completed. Okay, as the increase of Jacob in the land of Canaan further increased within the dimension of affliction. But once he passed through the waters and under the fire, water and fire again, okay, he increased to 500,000 people. Okay, and all those which are of faith entered into the promised land. And there was no iniquity found within him. That was a testimony. The testimony of the angel of the children of Israel at the time of their introduction, of passing over Jordan River, passing through the Jordan River, okay, was that there is no iniquity found in him now. But he went through the process of the purging and the circumcision, 40 years in the wilderness. That whole generation, okay, which came out of Egypt, which did not believe, all perished. But you notice that when he entered the promised land, it was with increase. Okay? So we can see that through the loss was also the abounding increase. So through the circumcision of the spirit within you, that which you lose, okay, only opens the gates for the increase to abound. In these dimension of waters, by the fire, because we follow the anointing, the fire by night and the pillar cloud by day, which shows the continued 24/7, the continued activity of the work of the Spirit within you. Okay, this is the effectual working. When you call it the word effectual there in verse 16, you can see here the word effectual has to do with that. It's active, it's living. It's active and it's living. Okay, this active and living here is abounding. The effectual work in the measure of every part makes increase. The word makes there, that's what we just talked about. The increase of the body, which is this house, through the charity which we're expending. Okay, the expending. We're expending and expanding this tribe. Therefore, by this he says in verse 17, okay, this I say, because we're talking about enlightenment, because you're hearing it. We're talking about the seal, because you're taught of this. We're talking about the covenant priesthood because the truth is in him. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, this glorification, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, okay, the imagination, the aspiration, the principle. Okay, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. That cloud of the defiled conscience remains upon their conscience. Having the understanding darkened, that's the breath of the seducing spirit. Being alienated from God, which is cut off, okay, the tethering of our confidence is restored by faith in Jesus Christ. The tethering of that confidence has to do with the conscience, being of one mind. One mind and one heart, we're glorifying God. One mind and one heart, we're glorifying God. The tethering of the conscience, the opening the gates to the soul, are continually being filled with the fruits of righteousness, the tokens of his light, so that by the tokens of light, we have rite of passage through the altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, into the door of the throne. Okay, which has to do with the door of the throne, has to do with that of the crystal sea of the Father's conscience. Having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, we talked about that, through the ignorance that is in them. We talk more about that in a moment here, because of the blindness of the heart. The blindness of the heart, again, has to do with they wander in this derision. Okay, they have a theology that blinds them. Okay, they have a form of profession of Jesus that's only a stumbling block. We can see this in the words that they select to represent Jesus. The words that they select are non-functional. Okay, as like you say, unconditional love. That's unfunctional. As concerning grace, okay, non-functional. Okay, the words that they use, like charity, okay, is non-functional. Okay, it's non-functional because it's identifying something, but it's not working with it. It's like wearing a priestly robe, but you're not at the altar. So it's non-functional. So having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. So they wander into the derision. Why? Because being past feeling. Of course, I just posted about that. Being past feeling. Guilt works with your past. The anointing as it works with that was the eternal moment. The anointing is in the eternal moment. This is where your faith is at, the eternal moment. So the anointing works now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted times, Paul says. That's the anointing. The anointing works in the eternal moment. Okay, whereas past feeling has to do with the guilt of the past. The roots of iniquity are in the garden. The roots of iniquity are in the transgression of Adam. Okay, those roots of iniquity being in the transgression of Adam was taught by Satan, okay, and his demons. Those which are under Satan and those under his stewardship, those which are in servitude to his throne, okay, continually bear his likeness, his perception, and his form of habit that has not changed in 7,000 years because it's ingrained within their own signature. That's the record of their soul. It's ingrained there. So they have a feather flock together. Okay, being ingrained, okay, they practice that which they are. Okay, as much as a fowl of the air or the beast of the field, a beast is what they are. A beast is what they do. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, okay, which is a false purging there, false regeneration, lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Okay, they're trying to cleanse their soul by profession of their own iniquity. You don't cleanse by iniquity, you cleanse by grace. Okay, and that is connected to the covenant. It's connected to the activity, mobility of your priesthood. You're being cleansed. Now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified. Okay, by this anointing of your faith. Okay, as Paul brings out there. Okay, but being past feeling, okay, if you're working with your past, okay, then you're trying to rectify and you're trying to find equity, okay, in the law. You're trying to use the law on a scale of your guilt, saying, I'm a good person because I do this and I do that. Okay, which works as works of condemnation. Okay, but the righteous work the works of life, the works of faith. Okay, not the works of death, but the works of faith. The works of death, okay, is the derision of iniquity. Okay, whereas the works of life has to do with the light of his throne. Okay, and it says here, with all greediness, which has to do with they're trying to find equity in the conscience by the driving of the God code within him, which forces them to, their appetites increase and increase and increase for more and for more and more. They're trying to find equity through the increase. You notice that within the the works of the sinner demand, okay, society has to increase, and when it can't increase, it dies. Where society can increase, it dies. Where technology can increase, okay, it dies in itself. Okay, another product, once another product comes on, okay, is found in your stores, that product which is previously there doesn't find its functions anymore. Like a buggy whip. A buggy whip was replaced with, okay, a vehicle, a car. So that which was previously necessary for the sustaining of the society of that time period, okay, no longer was useful. Or the God code within, okay, the signature of man forced him to progress from one form of technology to another form of technology. And where technology can't progress, war increases. First in the soul, again, then against one another. But you have not so learned Christ. The Spirit teaches you equity in the covenant. So the Spirit teaches charity for regeneration, and not just the psychology of the soul and all its struggles. If so be, you have heard of him and been taught by him. This is what's unfolding now. You have heard of him and been taught by him, by him as the truth is in Jesus. Okay, these are the things which he's provided richly for us to enjoy. Okay, now let's go back to Thessalonians. Make sure you get your sacrifices ready here. Now let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 now. I mean, we talked about the word free course being glorified in you. And that's why we went to Ephesians. And then we'll be jumping over to the epistle of John here in a moment. Verse 2 here. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now we just talked about that, okay, in Ephesians. As concerning the greediness, that lasciviousness. Okay, lasciviousness there, the driving force. The driving force of the God code within the nature of man. To pursue the aspiration. And to find equity within the aspiration. If you're trying to find peace and equity in the aspiration, you're going to be very discouraged. Okay? At the end of life, you're going to be very discouraged. Because the door to the throne will be shut to you. Okay? But the wide gate will be opened wide to you. Okay, as it is with a multitude of people. Okay, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The majority will follow that road because they want the road of the record of their own soul. Okay, the road of the record of their competition, the road of the record of the fruits of iniquity, okay, which they thought was their light. Iniquity was their light, but it was a false light. Right here, we'll go back here now, that we may be delivered from unreasonable, the unconverted believers, and wicked men, okay, they that have high religious aspirations. For all men have not faith. They're not mobile as the priest of his covenant. All men have not faith. They're not mobilized. They have a form of religion, a form of theology, okay, an association, which is an association of agreement, okay, but that doesn't save them. Okay, Jesus Christ saves them, and that is through covenant only. But the Lord is faithful, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. All the experiences, okay, of these strange acts and wondrous works, as the prophet brings out. But the Lord is faithful. He's consistent in his gifts. It's strange to the carnal and natural man, but yet it's food for our table. We recognize the smell, and we recognize the taste. We're sitting at the table of the Lord. Okay, we're partaking of him. That's what Jesus said to do, and that's what we're doing. Okay, we're eating of him. We're partaking of him. Okay, so the Lord is faithful in the consistency here, who shall establish you, because the Spirit is joining us to himself through this contact of propitiation. Propitiation, the original pattern is only in him. It's not found in anything that's substituted. Okay, substitutionism is found in the law. Substitutionism, people substitute tithing, charity with tithing. They substitute charity with tithing. But in propitiation, our tithing is Jesus Christ. Okay, charity. So substitutionism is less than light. Propitiation is the light. So let's go on here. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, being the poisons of false knowledge, removing the offense, forgiving all trespass. Because we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, okay, as Chief Ellen Apostle John brings out. So let's turn over there, okay, in 1 John. We'll read a few verses here, and we'll go back to Thessalonians and close. Okay, I'm in 1 John chapter 5, okay, and verses 17 through 21. And verse 21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Okay, that's what we're just talking about. That's what Paul was just talking about there, okay, in Thessalonians. And verse 17, we'll start there, all unrighteousness is sin. Okay, so highlight the word sin there. Okay, because we're talking about a kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom. Okay, everything of Satan's kingdom, okay, is less than light. Okay, and nothing of Satan's kingdom can be measured on the scale of Jesus Christ. Okay, because everything of Satan's kingdom bears the foul odor of its inequities. It's the voice of man. Okay, the voice of his logic. Okay, so all unrighteousness is sin. It's the wrong standard. Okay, all tokens of man are grievousness. All tokens of man are grievousness. Now, this is what John brings out here in 1 John chapter 5. He talks about that in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not the yoke of this world. It's nothing of the flesh, not the record of man. Okay, neither of the law. Because those things only frustrate grace. Frustrating grace, which means it's like putting sand in the gas tank. Okay, it's only going to cause malfunctions in the engine. Okay, all unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, but he says here, because Christ grants remission only to those which are converted, and there's a sin not unto death. And let's go on here, and we'll talk about that in a moment here. But we know, verse 18 here, we can discern these things. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So I like the word sinneth there. Okay, we're talking about two different kingdoms here. Whosoever born of God sinneth not, because we're working with the tokens of remission. So therefore, we're not transgressing against God. If you work with the tokens of Moses, the tokens of the law, you're transgressing against God. Okay, but he that's begotten of God keeps himself, which is in his priesthood, and the wicked one touches him not, because your soul is joined to Christ. The wicked one cannot soul within you, because you have a pure conscience. Unto the pure all things are pure, Paul says in Titus. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. This is contrast. Okay, we can see in all the epistles, the apostles there continually brought to the attention of the saints there to bear in mind contrast. This is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. The whole world lies in wickedness because it hates the light, and they want to boast of their own signature. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. There's the word true again. Okay, he is the original scale, and the original scale, okay, was birthed in the Father's bosom. Okay, being birthed in the Father's bosom, it could not be manipulated with nor challenged because it was already set. Okay, angels can't change it. It's in the Father's bosom. They can't even get to it. It's already been established. Okay, and it's also been manifested in Jesus Christ. He manifested and made known the scale, the record, and the true witness. Okay, even his Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Lord, children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Okay, so when we talk about, as concerning that he keeps you from evil, he says here, sin is a kingdom that operates independently of God. Sin is a kingdom that operates independently of God, because sin is the kingdom of Satan, who sows his virtual powers, being sins, that bear roots in the psyche of iniquity. Because it's untethering the conscience from God's light to keep the soul empty of any image of his creator. So the victim struggles with his history of existence and purpose. The world is still struggling for their identity. One person says, well, we came from aliens. Another person says, no, we came from monkeys. Another person says, we came from some kind of dust from an asteroid. Okay? In other words, they're struggling with their history of existence and purpose. Why? Because of sin. But we know our origin, and we know our destiny. Okay, but we can see that ignorant people conclude realities out of the ignorance of those that taught them to sustain the right of self-identity and to select the path to express this wickedness. They select the path to express this wickedness, and they award and applaud each other based upon that deception. They have a feather flock together. Let's now go back and conclude here in Thessalonians. Now here he says, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Okay, we just brought that out. The false knowledge. Okay, the false knowledge that is birthed within the flesh. Okay, its perspectives are restricted only to this dimension of waters. And then he goes on here, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Okay, that's to give you gifts of his coming. Touching you, point of contact, gifts of his coming. That you both do, attending the altar, and will do, and continue to pray for us. You're attending the altar and praying for, that's what I do for you. I attend the altar and I pray for you every day. Okay, every day you have over 100 saints praying for you. You can take confidence in that. Okay, the faithfulness of the righteous. That this is a bonding that we have one for another, for the healing of the soul, for your confidence to stand fast with him. And having confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we, that's the apostles, and through the stewardship, command you.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.